Thank you, Brother Dick, and thank you, Sister Judy. Brother, we're very happy to gather here today. Brought to our attention our service entitled Where a Tree Falls. I'm sure you're familiar with that. The title is up here on the screen, Where a Tree Falls. Lord bless your service, Brother Ed.
Okay, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Good evening. It is sure good to see you. Been a while since we've been over here. Love and greetings from our brother in Columbus, especially Bill and Michelle. Just give you a quick update. You know many of the runners over there. Maggie, I know most of a lot of you are going to ask, is doing well. Depends on the day. Sister Joyce Young, Joyce Blair Young, Sister Joyce just had a group going on up. We moved up in this area right here. They found it was cancer, but a very slow growing cancer. And a lot of you know that I'm going to be he was in the hospital on Wednesday for a kidney stone operation. And this is what we were really worried about. But everything was way overruled and everything was okay. And he had two kidney stones and he said, it was the sacrament. Anyway, a lot of greetings from your brother in Africa, especially maybe some of you who are from the other end. Just to let the brother know, Brother Bill and I will be back home in about a month. We will be gone for 4 weeks. We will be going to the end of our long is in Tanzania. And one of the benefits will be is we will be having a oral for the brother in Tanzania. He just made their first report. There's a brother there. Okay.
There's about 8 consecrated in Tanzania and 12 interested, and an immersion service is planned over there. Also, to let the brother know, I don't know if you know him, he's on Facebook a lot. A brother Alex from Nairobi, Kenya. We met with him for 3 days when we were there the last time. He had a 1-year-old daughter that just died Monday after a long injury, long illness. And today was the funeral. So that was pretty tough. What we'd like to do today is there is something that we personally went through. I am sure you know the scripture before I even quote it. Okay. And it comes from Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds are full, they put out rain on the earth. And whether a tree falls to the south or towards the north, wherever it falls, there it will lie. Kind of like the obscure scripture. But the key to understanding the scripture is found by our pastor's comments. If there's any lessons of comparison to man were intended, it's simply this. It would be that when a man falls helplessly in death, as a tree is powerless to change its position, the world will be raised in the same kind of intelligence in which it went down in death. As a man goes down, so he comes back up the same way, mentally. I'm not saying physically. There is no change in the grave, neither good for evil. For we know the scripture, there is no work, nor advice, nor knowledge, or wisdom in the grave. So when a person dies, that's it. Right? What we will be focusing our remarks on is the millennial age, the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. Project your mind to that. will ask you a challenge question. Is man resurrected perfect when he is resurrected? Or is he justified, let me put it that way, when he is resurrected at the beginning of the millennial age or at the end? You know where we're going already. That's close up shop with that skipper. Okay, you already know. But can you prove it? Can you prove what you believe when you are challenged saying otherwise? Can you go out and can you prove this first by scripture, then by the pastor's writings? Can you prove that? And that was a challenge to me when this concept that man was presented perfect at the beginning. Can I prove, is that right or isn't it? And so this is the study. This is what we'd like to share with you. Nothing complicated. You already know where we're going. Okay? So, let's get there. Scripture, you all know it. And you believe it, and you can probably quote it. God, who desires all men to be saved, to come to a what? Knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be what? Testified due time. We can see that thus God's will shall be accomplished on the earth as it in heaven. Remember, one, that God's will that all should recover from the Adamic curse. That is his will. That is what he wants. And brought to what? To a knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants. That it is the will of God that eternal life should be given to what? All the obedient. Three, that it is equally the will of God that all the disobedient, what? That shall be destroyed from amongst the people. This is the future of God's will that shall be done what? Where? Here on earth. None can hinder it. We know our faith grabs onto this. We know it will happen. Because God, because of the Abrahamic promise, said all the families of the earth will be blessed. He guaranteed this, didn't he? When we look up in Hebrews 7. He guaranteed it will happen. Okay. Another foundation scripture, which I know you're familiar with. Jeremiah 31:33. Critically important. But this is the covenant which I will make the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. People, writing the law in the people's heart. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord?" For they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins. I will remember no more. What is this I will put in their head? It's the love of the law. What's the law? In essence, you shall love what? The Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Number two, your neighbor as yourself. That's the law that will be taught. Loving God, loving your neighbor. God had a law before the Ten Commandments, didn't he? It was given in man's nature. It was given like Adam. He had God's law written in his heart. The original standard is again promised for the future. Man will gradually retrace and rewrite the divine law in his heart. Isn't that the essence of what the kingdom's all about? Changing from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Right now, man is a very hard heart. But what we'll be doing, or what will happen, is a heart transplant to a heart of flesh, a heart of loving God and your fellow man. When the law had been fully written in the whole being, the covenant condition will be fully obtained. That's the goal, one of the goals, to educate man, to get man up to the point where this law is part of who they are, within their full being. The perfect human nature will be that as it was at the first. Remember, it will be exactly as Adam had. In their inner parts, their very thoughts, as well as their very outward life, will be brought back into a heart-like, human, loving God condition. That's one of the goals. It will be in their very nature. We see this change from a spirit to human being was with a view of enabling Jesus to be the ransom price, another key component. A perfect man for a perfect man. Well, an antilutron, you know that word, a corresponding price. That Jesus gave himself a ransom price for all at the time of his consecration at 30 years of age. He continued giving that ransom price, that is, in laying down his life, which is due time, would constitute the ransom price for Father, Adam, and his race. He finished this work of laying down his life, surrendering it, sacrificing it, permitted it to be taken from him when on the cross he cried, "It is finished." It was not the same from that point onward. But I just goofed. Nothing more could be laid down than what was. A ransom, a correspondence for Father Adam. But it was not paid over as a price in the settlement of Adam's account, was it? Else Adam and the entire race would then and there have been turned over to Jesus. The price was merely laid in the hand of divine justice as a deposit to the credit of the one who had just died, that he might apply it and later in harmony with the divine plan. This is not the same as forever. Our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, a spirit being of the divine nature, as a reward of his faithfulness and loyalty to God. In surrendering his earthly life sacrificially, him hath God highly exalted and given a name above every other name. Why? Because of his faithfulness and what he did. That to time for giving the results of the ransom, that is, restitution to Adam and his race, is after our Lord's second advent, after his return, we know this, when he shall set up his kingdom, designed for the very purpose of bringing back the rebellious race into full fellowship with the Father to eternal life, as many as will. That is one of the goals, isn't it, of why Jesus returns, is to bring man back into harmony in due time. That you can't underestimate the importance of the due time. There's an interesting reprint article. It's called Practical Face of the Ransom Work. Maybe many of you have read it. This was a very good article. And I'll read just a certain sentence. This is from the pastor. When the ransom price shall have been given to just in exchange for the will of mankind, when the purchase of the will of mankind shall have been turned over to the purchaser, the legal phase of the ransom work of Jesus in the satisfaction of justice and releasing of mankind from the penalty of death will be complete. Then, however, another part of the ransoming will begin, will operate, namely, giving up the benefits of the ransom to Adam and his family. This phase of the ransom is called what? Ransom work. Will be of Messiah's kingdom, bringing restitution, or, and you know the definition of restitution means restoring back again. That's the whole point, isn't it? To restore back to square one or original. To man in his earthly home, to all willing and obedient of Adam's race, the unwilling, what will happen to him? Will be destroyed in second death. When the ransom will have completed his work of ransoming the human family is in two phases. First, the legal phase. The satisfaction of divine justice by giving a life for a life. The second phase is the practical phase, the restoring or recovering or delivering of the redeemed from the bondage of sin and death to liberty of the Son of God. Romans 8:21. So we have two parts, the legal, a life for a life, justice. Then we have the love part, if you will, the ransoming work, applying that life of what Jesus gave. Repent 48:30 is another one that I think is important on this subject. It's called Deliverance from the Curse. Good Reaper article to read. The pastor says it better than what I'm trying to explain. It's the scripture he uses was really an eye-opener for me. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 John 5:12. Also in John 3:36. But the wrath of God abides on him. Before the world shall be put on trial, it will have a mediator provided, composed of Christ the head and the church his body. The mediator will stand between divine justice and the masses of mankind. The first act of the mediator will be put into operation by what? The new covenant, as spoken as we read in Jeremiah 31:31. That's how God operates. We all know this through covenants. It tells us the new covenant will be inaugurated with Israel. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. All the Jews will be transferred from Moses to Christ. The better mediator from the old law covenant to the new law covenant. This new law covenant will be open to all mankind as they come to realize what their need. Eventually, I'm sure you'll get into the subsequent day sacrifices in the tabernacle. In there, the pastor explains when man realizes that by the different offerings that they bring to the priest, their need, and recognize that they're sinful and praise God because he's resurrected them, and they move on towards and striving to be a perfect person. The supply, which will be accomplished only through the mediator, all must come under the arrangements of the Messianic kingdom in order to share with the Jews in the blessings of that time. As we read, and many nations will say, come, and come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. And look, he will teach us his ways, and we will what? Walk in his path for what? Out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:3 and Micah 4:2. They will say, he has done for the Jew first, but that he will also do for us. This new covenant arrangement, however, will bring blessing to mankind only in proportion as they accept the mediator. To have life, they have to recognize what Jesus did for them, and additionally, what the church has done for them. We give our life so that they can live. We have a discussion today, review Leviticus 9. You will eventually get there in your studies, maybe in a year. if you go the pace we do. But that's the point, isn't it? Our job, along with our Lord, is to help bring mankind back into harmony. That's a mediator's job. Man cannot stand before God when he is first resurrected, can he? What would happen? He'd automatically go back into the grave if there was no mediator. So it shows a very critical component of the job of the mediator. A mediator stands between us and our odds. Do you want to put mankind when he first comes out of the grave before God? It wouldn't work. Why bother resurrecting him? So the job of the mediator is to stand and help educate and bring them up into harmony with God. And to stand, if you would, so we know man will make mistakes. If they stood before God on their own, they'd be automatically going back into the grave, wouldn't they? But because of the mediator, their sins are forgiven. They'll have opportunities to change. The period of Christ's reign, which will be an everlasting, in which everlasting life will be given to whoever will, the Jews will be transferred as a nation from the law covenant to the new covenant. But as for other people, they will be obligated to accept the great mediator. Thus, from the moment they accept Christ and the provisions of the new covenant, will cover them. Which is a huge, think of the blessing that will bring to mankind of the covering of the great mediator. But for those that accept God's arrangements, what happens? The wrath of God will abide on them. So in order to get life, they have to recognize the arrangements of the new covenant and accept and remember and recognize, one, what Jesus did for them. He gave them life. But also, remember what the church has done for you. We give our lives so that they can live. And together with the Christ-head body, this gives life to the world. To me, I never really understood that scripture. To me, it's a very exciting scripture in the importance of accepting Jesus and the church to get life. First volume, page 216. Every man from whom Christ died, who will recognize and avail themselves of the opportunities and blessings purchased by the precious blood, may go up the highway of holiness. And to the grand goal of perfect restitution to human perfection and everlasting life. Nor will these be reckoned justified and granted a reckoned standing of holiness and perfection in the sight of God when they start on the highway of holiness. They may go thereon to actual perfection as a result of the endeavor and obedience to those to which all things were made favorable by the Redeemer. Then the scriptures we have is Isaiah 35:8. So for man to get back into harmony with God, to be justified, they have to come on this highway of holiness. Again, you that have the Son have life. If you don't, you won't. Just like in 1 John 5:14. It's that simple. Once they do, Isaiah 35:8. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called what? The highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and the fools will not wander on it. So it's for the unclean. When they recognize and come into harmony with the new covenant arrangements, they will start to begin life. And what is this highway? It's the new covenant. Again, from the first volume, page 150. Let the actual benefits and the results of the ransom be clearly seen. When all objections to its being of universal application will vanish. The ransom for all, given by the man Christ Jesus, does not give or guarantee everlasting life or blessing to any man, but it does guarantee what? To every man another opportunity for trial for everlasting life. That's the guarantee. Jesus said, I will get you out of the grave. What you do with it from there, we need some work. Okay, so ransom gets him up out of the grave, and then man has to recognize, Jesus has to recognize and start the heart transformation. When man is first awakened from the grave, is he instantaneously to full human perfection? No. Here's another proof. Look at first volume, page 290. The world, or the work of the earthly face of the kingdom of God will be confined to this world and to humanity. And those so highly honored as to have a share in it and will be most exalted and honored of God among men. Who? Who's highly honored among men? Ancient worthies. These whose judgment day was previous to the gospel age, having been tried and found faithful, in the awakening, they will not be forth what? To a trial of judgment again, but will at once receive the reward of faithfulness. An instantaneous to perfection as men. This is important, brethren. Other than these, the spiritual class will be gradually raised to perfection during the millennial age. That's important. A gradual process. It's a good thing because we all learn at different rates, don't we? Man, part of the new covenant arrangement is what? An education process. We're teaching. The church head body will educate men what's right, what's wrong. Point them to the highway of holiness. In the fifth form, this is very important. Page 476. That as perfect beings they should be, okay, if man was resurrected perfect from the get-go, the pastor says at 5th volume, 476, that as perfect human beings they would be required to obey therein the perfect law of God perfectly. And that no excuse should be made for them and none would be even close to Father Adam. They come up out of the grave, okay, resurrected at the beginning. God would require of them, all right, you keep the law perfectly. We know what would happen. Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Yet you say, why should a son not bear the punishment of their father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and observed all my statutes and done them, and have done them, and they shall surely live. Ezekiel 18:20. This is important. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of his father's iniquity, nor the father bear the punishment of his son's iniquity. The righteous for the righteous will be upon himself, and the wicked of the wicked will be on himself. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observed, my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall what? Surely live. All the transgressions he committed will not be remembered against him because of his righteousness, what he practiced. So this, I thought, this to me was a beautiful scripture, because finally, I don't know, in our professions, that when I was in the work world, and I know Ben again, we had to deal with people that always blame somebody else for the way things happened. It's because my nephew's cousin, uncle, brother is the way I am. Finally, man takes responsibility for his own actions. So you can't blame anyone else. Man is responsible for going up the highway of holiness. Each, and the beautiful part about this, it's each individual will have to do that. And realize the beauty of all the support system that man has to come up this highway of holiness. You know, I'm sure you can, the church, Jesus, the ancient wounds, those that have got, been resurrected before up the highway of holiness, just to name four real quick. All of that is the support system for what reason? To help mankind up this highway of holiness to perfection. Also, if man was resurrected perfect, it would make void the great lesson which God has been teaching the world for 6,000 years respecting the sinfulness of sins. It would make void the permission of evil. Do you remember when you studied, a lot of what we're going to be quoting from here is taken from the sixth volume in the resurrection chapter, which I know you're familiar with. But did you, this finally went bomb dawn on me when we reread it and studied it in class. The pastor outlines 7 points. Very clear, very simple to understand, at least for me it was. Of why man cannot be resurrected perfect at the beginning. You have it right from the pastor's mouth, if you would. Look it up in the sixth volume in the resurrection chapter. It's around 714. And so what we're doing is quoting his words, because I don't think you can improve on them. Number three, if the race is restored instantaneously, it would be practically a new race to which all experience would be comparatively lost because no member of it would be able thoroughly to identify himself. That's why the beginning scripture, what we talked about, where a tree falls and it lies, as you go into death, you'll come back the same way. When you go to sleep at night, do you wake up a different person? Is Dan still Dan? You know? Probably. You know, he's not George. You know, when he comes back, when he wakes up. Again, that important scripture of Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. As to whether a tree falls towards the south, towards the north, wherever it falls, it will lie. If any lesson or comparison of man it was intended, it would be that so as a man falls helplessly in death, there he would remain and come back at the same person. Reprint article. Another important reprint article. 4985. Perfection of organism is not necessary to a trial of life. The foundation scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 25, and 26. You know these scriptures. He must reign until he hath put all enemies, what? Under his feet. And the last enemy that is destroyed is death. Okay? What kind? Yeah, and it's, we're done. You know, that's the essence of the reprint. We'll read it. So as mankind go down into death, there they remain. In the awakening from death, there will be a resuscitation to practically the same condition mentally, morally, and physically. to which they had before they went into the tomb. If man came back from the tomb perfect, no one would have any way of identifying him. If one were raised perfect in every thought, word, net, he would not know himself. For all those composing, for all those things composing his identity, would be gone. Hence, he would have no way to distinguish between himself and the rest of mankind. The world will be resuscitated to the same kind of intelligence in which they had they went down into death. But this is a death condition. The very object of Messiah's kingdom is to lift them up out of this condition, to raise them up to that which was lost, to the perfect perfection of human nature. So man will be given the capability and ability to overcome. Reprint Article 1771. The King's Highway. When Christ is King, then what? So, okay, he's King. What happens? But perfect love and obedience and light and spirit will not be realized by the world when on trial. Until when? The close of the millennial age. For perfection of being is necessary to a perfect perfection of obedience, and the entire age will be necessary to the full restitution or bringing back of such as accept the Son to the perfection and divine fellowship lost 6,000 years ago. And as from the first moment of death, death sentence, Adam and the race were no longer fully alive, but dying. So through the reign, or we'll say mediatorial phase of the kingdom, our kingdom of life will continue until the age, through the entire age, to lift the obedient out of death towards life. Yet perfection of life will not be obtained until the end of the process. Is another key word here, process of lifting or restituting or restitution. And none will get that grand gift of God except as those that have perfected in love, not only in word and deed, but also in the deepest thoughts and intents of their heart. Such as thus believe the Son will and accept his grace and are being conformed to his image, and such only shall see life. This is a good reprint article to review. And this is just a little snippet of it. Another point, to claim that either physical perfection or perfect knowledge is necessary to trial of life at the beginning, none will such perfections be essential to the world's trial. The world will indeed, as we, be brought first to a knowledge of God's grace in Christ before the trial can begin. And this God has promised they shall have. As a covering for the inherited weaknesses, they will have the merit of Christ, the mediator of new covenant, while obtaining perfection. Not until the end of Messiah's reign will the obedient obtain complete perfection. Revelation 20, verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were complete. It will not be until the end of 1,000 years are finished that the race will have fully obtained to the complete measure that which was lost in Adam. This comes from first volume, page 289. The way of life, the way of death will be for them, and each must make a choice. What are you going to do? Whoever refused to go up thereon will what? Resulting in second death. Yeah. Another point, if man were raised perfect at the beginning, there would be no opportunity what for the operation of the church. Kind of a big component of God's plan, isn't it? We learn the Lord as the seed of Abraham to bless the world to fulfill towards its office of royal priesthood. That's in Galatians 3, verses 16 and 29. What roles will the church play in the sin offering? What will we do? Isaiah 61:6. But you shall be called the priest of God. You will be spoken as ministers of God. You will eat of the wealth of the nations. And in your riches you will boast. Revelation 1:6. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest of his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and over and ever. In Leviticus 16, in the tabernacle, verse 15. Then they shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the what? For who? The people. And bring its blood inside the veil, and do with it as the blood he did with the blood of the bullock. And sprinkle it on the mercy seat in front of the mercy seat. All right, the pastor's comment on page 6, or tabernacle, page 67. The sacrifice of the Lord's goes and accepted on behalf of the world, just as the Christ is accepted on behalf of the body of the household of faith. Okay, what is the order of Melchizedek? It's a priest and king on the throne, isn't it? Picture yourself like Brother Tass. He's in glory. He's in royal priesthood. The sacrificing is finished. He is the order of Melchizedek. When the church is complete, what do they do? A king means royal executive authority, isn't it? A judge, he has the power to execute justice and mercy. What's a priest? A priest is one who interacts and acts on behalf of us. So when you combine these two together, the church will have the kingly authority to grant life, to execute justice and mercy, dispense blessings. The priesthood, as you know, in the subsequent day sacrifices. Each one of those sacrifices, the priest is involved, aren't they? So the church is not going to be different from the world of mankind. We will be, if you will, made in the trenches with the world. We have a vested interest in helping man up the highway of holiness, don't we? That is our motivation of bringing others so that they will have life, that they will have a relationship with God. And this is part, I think, of our job description. Meditate and think on that. This is what we will do, or one of the things we will do. Another point the pastor brings out, if man were resurrected perfect at the beginning, why would 1,000 years be appointed? Why bother with the times of restitution? What's the point of the Jubilee year? Restoration. Straightening out a mess. Bringing everything back into harmony. Isn't that part of the role of what the church will be doing too? It's helping and assisting of straightening out this mess that's been going on for 6,000 years. And bringing order out of chaos. And the crown jewel is to help man bring the mess of his character, if you would, back into harmony with God. Another point the pastor makes. If man were resurrected perfect at the beginning, the pastor states there would be no room for mercy on their account. Think of that. The pastor states There would be no plea for mercy for willful, deliberate, intentional transgressions. We know the world's going to commit them. That's what part of the subsequent day sacrifices is all about, isn't it? Trespass sins. If you goof, here's a way to get back into harmony. Furthermore, each individual who would transgress would individually bring himself under the death sentence. As a willful sinner, no redemption for these would be possible. Unlike the case of Adam, where by one man's disobedience the whole race was involved, and by another perfect man because of the redemption of the race, is in each case, each individual would need what? A personal transgression. You would need another Jesus. Times 5 billion people. You would need 5 billion Jesuses to bring man back out of the grave. Look at the wisdom of God, one man to one man. So you see the wisdom. Let's see. Okay. Whose care is the will of mankind placed under? Who's the executors, if you would? They are placed under the care and charge and supervision of the royal priesthood. The mediator in whose hands has been placed all power to say, we inquire whether or not he would propose that those whom he redeems shall be eternally saved, or whether or not he has placed limitations upon the matter. All who are awakened from the Adamic death, as though from a sleep, by the virtue of the ransom given, this will be the first step in their restitution blessings. They will then be under his care, charge, supervision of the royal priesthood, whose experience with sin and with victory over sin in this gospel age, they well fit and prepare them for a patient and helpful to all those whom, over whom they will reign. Revelation 5:10. We were kings and priests upon a throne. We will rule for one purpose, help man up out of the grave. In reprint article 4840, it's entitled Deliverance from the Curse. We read this, but I think this is very important. I will repeat it again. He that hath the Son hath life. He that does not have the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abide on him. Before the world shall be put on trial, it will have a mediator what? Provided, composed of Christ the head and the church, his body. This mediator will stand between divine justice and the masses of mankind. The first act of the mediator will be to put into operation as in Jeremiah 31:31. Tells us that the new covenant will be inaugurated first with Israel. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, and I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and all the Jews will be transferred from Moses to Christ. And the better mediator from the old law covenant to the new law covenant. This new covenant will be open to all mankind as they come to what? Realize their need. The supply of which can be accomplished only through the mediator. All must come under the arrangement of the Messianic kingdom in order to share with the Jews in the blessings of that time. Who else would better understand the plight of man than the Jew? It starts with them, and if you would, explodes and goes out to the whole world of mankind. Now you have another system or another support system for the world of mankind, don't you? God, Christ, the church, the ancient worthies, man himself that's already gone up the highway of holiness, now you got a Jew who understands, I think, better than any other nationality or group of people, what it means to go through difficulties. They get it. They understand not only human suffering, but they already know the law. So you have six support systems for man to come up the highway of holiness. You know, that's the ones that I can count. I'm sure you can come up with some more. So we read, and many nations will go up, say, come ye up to the mountain of the house of the Lord and the house of Jacob, and he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We got to hurry up. 2. In taking these steps along the highway of holiness during the law of the age, we will still be imperfect and will be, to that extent, still be covered by the merit of the ransom sacrifice. We're learning gradual those valuable lessons and cultivating various fruits of the Spirit. In the meantime, breaks or blemishes through indiscretion or through attempts to try another method would still come as part of their Adamic weakness. And would still come, and that to that extent be forgivable at the hands of the great high priest. This is taken from 5th volume, 479. Do we stop at 6? Okay. Okay, just real quick, another reference. Look up, I'll summarize, in 5th volume, 386. This everlasting life will begin it only to rules when they learn of it and the terms upon which will be granted as a free gift. And the other reprint article we'd like to share with you is responsibility according to ability. As mankind comes up the highway of holiness, they're held accountable for their progress or retrogression. As they progress, they will be blessed. Okay, the other point is the scriptures represent the many trophies of the kingdom as a judgment day. If man were resurrected perfect, what's the point? Why bother with a judgment day? A judgment day implies education and testing, doesn't it? Why bother? But that's the point of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, isn't it? It's a judgment day of education and progress. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. You know this. For as an animal dies, so in Christ shall all be made alive. 6th volume, page 696. The pastor makes the point, man is not really alive until they accept Jesus. Other than that, we'll let it go right there. Next one. To be made alive implies that they have to strive towards perfection, come in harmony with the new covenant arrangements, accept Jesus as their ransom sacrifice that's given them life, accept and come under the mediator, and work towards the heart transplant aspect of a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. When that process goes on, they will become alive, no longer dead. Okay. What's anastasis? This was brilliant, the word. It means to stand again, to rise up to again. To what? To what Adam had. That's what the whole point is. You're fully resurrected is when you have the full standing of like what you were of Adam. Imagine billions of individuals restored like Adam. Fully alive. And it means a complete out of death. You have that restanding. To me, that's this, just that one word encapsulates, doesn't it, the whole full aspect of what the kingdom is all about. This is a very underlined exclamation point, important recurrent article. 5959. Justification, what, when, and how. This little, it's only that big article, but it says everything that we're trying to say. The world's justification will not be an instantaneous one, but will progress during the 1,000 years, the millennium. The world might be said to be tentatively justified through the mediator and kingdom, but justification will be accomplished all the way in their absolute perfection when? At the close of the millennium, when they will be presented to the Father and accepted of Him. It is God that justifies, and He receives to everlasting life and to His family any plane of existence, only those who are perfect. Goofed. The importance of this article is at the end. First Corinthians 15:24. Then when the end comes, the end means goal. What's the goal? Get man back up to perfection and harmony with God. That's the goal. That's what we want. When he hands, what happens? He passes, if you want, the football. Man is perfected. But Christ and body step out of the way. What do you have? You have a perfect humanity. Finally, all of mankind is back in harmony with God. That's, you know, what a thrill. That's what we want. That's what we've prayed for. This is why we die. We go through all the things we go through. This is our heavenly vision that keeps us going, isn't it? The same mankind, finally, back in harmony with God. Finally. This, I wish I could express it even more, but that's the whole point. This is found, another one, just quote it so you can look it up. 4999, paragraph 2. It's the ministry of reconciliation, isn't it? That's our job. It's bringing the mediator back to man and God back together. And then finally, I think we can firmly put a date on it. 2874. We're done. Man is back in harmony with God. Treasure this, brother. To me, this was just thrilling, to no end. And I hope and pray through the bumbling words that this was a blessing to you. May the Lord bless us and keep this vision before us. To me, this is the vision that transports, isn't it? That we sang at the beginning. May the Lord has blessing.
Thank you, Brother Ed. It's good to hear the old story, and it's